We are pushing the limits to do everything we can to get every single evacuee out of Kabul.
Evacuations increase as August 31st deadline draws near. It's Wednesday, August 25th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Amy Heibels in Washington. You can also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, rights advocates urge UN to hold Taliban accountable. Disability rights take center stage at Tokyo Paralympics. Digital art unlike any other. It's all in today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Joe Biden plans to stick to his August 31st deadline for U.S. troops to leave Afghanistan, an administration official said on Tuesday. Earlier, President Biden and other G7 leaders met virtually to discuss the situation in Afghanistan, with several pushing for Mr. Biden to keep U.S. troops in the country beyond next week's deadline to facilitate the ongoing evacuation effort. The Taliban have rejected any extension of the deadline. More than 21,000 people were evacuated from Kabul in the past 24 hours, according to the White House, the result of more than 90 U.S. military and coalition flights. Since August 14th, the U.S. has evacuated and facilitated the evacuation of more than 58,000 people. Several thousand Americans have been among those evacuated, according to Pentagon officials. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb has the latest.
Evacuations from Kabul airport have ramped up, but tens of thousands of people still need to get out. General Steve Lyons is the commander of U.S. Transportation Command.
We are pushing the limits to do everything we can to get every single evacuee out of Kabul.
Reports were confirmed by the Transportation Command Chief Monday that three babies have been born amid the evacuation chaos, a testament to the humanity and the desperation of the evacuation. Inside Kabul, a precarious security situation, a firefight and a stampede outside the airport, both deadly. Taliban checkpoints still daunting and potential attacks from Islamic State looming. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Our commanders on the ground have taken every step they can to prepare for such an attack.
Some of the 5,800 U.S. forces are now conducting sporadic rescue operations to help Americans get to the airport, with the August 31st deadline just days away, a date the Taliban have called a red line. Major General Hank Taylor and Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby told reporters that some of the 5,800 U.S. forces are now conducting sporadic rescue operations to help Americans get to the airport.
Are you going to ask for authorization of more troops?
And what I said is that 5,800 were able to continue to secure the airfield, continue to increase safety there, and continue to do the operations that we already have.
There are no plans at this time to request or to authorize additional U.S. forces to this mission.
Veterans groups and non-governmental organizations are urging the president to get every American and at-risk Afghan out. Matt Zeller is the founder of the veterans group No One Left Behind.
Despite the fact that what the president is going out and saying to the global, you know, community, that what he's reporting simply isn't true, that the vast majority of the people who want to get to the airport can't.
The White House vowed Monday to continue evacuations for as long as it takes. Again, Jake Sullivan.
We will continue to get Afghans at risk out of the country even after U.S. military forces have left.
But just how those Afghans will be rescued beyond an American troop pullout remains to be seen. Carla Babb, VOA News, The Pentagon.
Be sure to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Airbnb to offer free lodging for 20,000 Afghan refugees. Turkey rebuffs Europe's call to host Afghan refugees. Amid fear, criticism, Taliban want international recognition of representative rule. Women soccer players leave Afghanistan on evacuation flight. U.S. is open to North Korea aid regardless of denuclearization progress. Additional coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. Participants at a special session on the human rights situation in Afghanistan have urged the UN Human Rights Council to investigate abuses committed by the Taliban and to hold them accountable for their crimes. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Michelle Bachelet kicked off the proceedings. She gave a harrowing account of the many credible reports her office has received of violations committed by the Taliban against the Afghan civilian population, including summary executions and restrictions on the rights of women. She noted commitments made by the Taliban to respect the rights of women and of ethnic and religious minorities. She said they also have pledged to refrain from reprisals against Afghans who worked with the international community. She said the onus now was on the Taliban to honor those commitments.
I urge this council to take bold and vigorous action, commensurate with the gravity of this crisis, by establishing a dedicated mechanism to closely monitor the evolving human rights situation in Afghanistan, including in particular the Taliban's implementation of its promises with a focus on prevention.
Bachelet said united action by member states will be an important signal to the Taliban that a return to past practices will not be accepted by the international community. Shahzad Akbar, chair of the Afghanistan Independent Human Rights Commission, expressed disappointment at the council's failure to create fact-finding missions to monitor, report, and gather evidence of past Taliban violations and abuses.
The least the special session can do is to illustrate through actions to Afghans that they will not look away, that the world is committed to at least a credible, strong, and well-resourced mechanism to document the abuses.
Akbar called the draft resolution tabled at the special session a travesty, considering the well-documented violations and war crimes committed by the Taliban against women and girls, human rights defenders, and journalists, among others. She added Afghan activists on the ground who face direct threats to their lives demand and deserve better than the council's tepid response.
To be frank with you, you are failing them. But now, today, not next month, not next March, you have the chance to redeem yourselves. Please take it.
Human Rights Watch agreed with that position. It warned failure to act now would tarnish the council's credibility, not just in Afghanistan, but in other human rights crises. The U.S. joined a group of more than 60 countries that demanded the immediate cessation of targeted killings of women's rights defenders. The group also called on those in power in Afghanistan to guarantee women's and girls' rights to education, work, health, and freedom of movement. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Happening now in Asia, in Singapore, U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris said Tuesday, China, quote, continues to coerce, to intimidate, and to make claims to the vast majority of the South China Sea. Harris said China's actions, quote, continue to undermine the rules-based order and threaten the sovereignty of nations. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the 2020 Paralympic Games began in Tokyo with an opening ceremony on Tuesday. As Japan continues to raise awareness of needs for the disabled amid the struggle with coronavirus outbreaks, Steve Ross has more from Tokyo for VOA.
The excitement of the 32nd Olympiad continues in Tokyo with the Summer Paralympic Games. Following a one-year delay due to the COVID-19 pandemic, tensions grew even higher as Japan experienced its most intense viral wave during the Olympic Games that concluded just days ago. But frequent testing and virus prevention measures managed to keep most all of the athletes, trainers, delegations, and Olympic staff and volunteers safe, and the games were conducted without any serious disruptions. The Tokyo 2020 Paralympics officially opened Tuesday night with a ceremony of their own at Japan's National Stadium ahead of the first competitive events Wednesday at a number of venues. Continuing through September 5th, about 4,400 athletes will compete in over 500 events in 22 different sports. Entrants from roughly 160 countries and a refugee athlete team will compete over 13 days.
Emperor Naruhito was on hand to declare the Paralympics officially open. IPC International Paralympic Committee President Andrew Parson has called these games the most important Paralympics in history because the pandemic has disproportionately affected persons with disabilities. For the health of all participating, just as with the preceding Olympic Games, most spectators will be barred, but competition will be followed closely via television and online. The IPC estimates that worldwide there are about 1.2 billion people with disabilities, making up some 15% of the global population. Tokyo is the first city to host the Paralympic Games twice, the first time around in concert with the 1964 Tokyo Olympics. The Paralympic Games were launched at the 1960 Olympics in Rome. At this week's events, the first official Paralympics refugee team will present a contrast to participants in prior games competing for nation states. The six athletes, one woman and five men, will represent the estimated 82 million people forced to flee their homes and cross into another country. A refugee Olympic team was first introduced at the 2016 Olympics. The Tokyo Paralympics will, by example, focus on disability rights, accessibility, and inclusion, not just through the events, but also in the structure of the venues. The Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee laid out guidelines for the Olympic and Paralympic Games, guaranteeing accessible ramps, stairs, desks, doors, elevators, and escalators. The guidelines are likely to have an impact on Japan, which is still working to provide accessibility in complex facilities like train stations. And from the start, the first of the Paralympic events Wednesday may surprise some sports fans. They include equestrian events, wheelchair fencing, wheelchair rugby, and more. Join us next time for highlights. Steve Ross for VOA News, Tokyo.
In other news, Beeple, NFT, words familiar mostly in the worlds of cryptocurrency and digital art, but they have revolutionized the art world and are now worth millions of dollars. Maxima Vlashenka looked into what exactly they are and why they are worth so much in this story narrated by VOA's Anna Rice.
Mike Winkelmann is Beeple, an American digital artist who made headlines in March when he sold an NFT of his work for $69.3 million at an online auction. NFT stands for non-fungible token. But what does that mean? Non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, are basically unique pieces of software that can't be duplicated, kind of like a digital Mona Lisa that can't ever be copied. They're the newest form of digital art. Unlike cryptocurrencies, they cannot be traded or exchanged. They're made using blockchain technology, which is one way that the investing world ensures that cryptocurrencies can never be hacked. Because once a blockchain is created, it can never be replicated. That's what also makes every NFT unique and great for selling or collecting.
So a painting is one of a kind, a sculpture is one of a kind, but a digital artwork can be reproduced millions of times, infinitely. Blockchain is a game changer in that through code, that file then becomes, you know, non-fungible. It cannot be altered, changed. It's one of a kind.
Beeple's success was met with enthusiasm in the art circles, both digital and traditional. Recently, New York City saw the world's first physical NFT gallery space open in the spring of 2021. Since the start of 2021, the NFT market has grown dramatically, and experts believe NFT tokens will continue to gain popularity and momentum among both collectors and investors. For Maxima Vloshenko in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Be sure to like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. Thank you for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Chris Cascao, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Amy Heibels in Washington. Now go and make it a great day.